Thank you, Brother Russell. And again, praise the Lord, everyone. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And would you please stand for the reading of the word? I would like to offer again my thanks for all of the prayers been offered up for my wife, Sister Grant. She is here this morning back doing her duties all over the place. I think the pneumonia has cleared up. We thank the Lord for that. She does go see a surgeon on Thursday because of the expanded aorta and the aneurysm. So please continue to pray. We've already witnessed this morning the testimony of one person who's been healed. And that's something. I remember how shaky and scared Larry seemed to be when he first told me that he had lung cancer. And then later on, he told me that it had really grown. And I could just feel the fear. I know what it's like. I've had three cancer surgeries. And I could really feel for him. And he's been in our prayers, daily prayers, for a long time. Then to come in this morning, just beaming, said, "I want to tell you about my cancer." You know, he said, "I don't have cancer. It's gone. They couldn't find it." The doctor says, I don't know what happened. Said, we want to take the CT scan again, and they did, and we can't find a trace of it. It's just gone. That's just, praise God. Before Sister Grant's illness, I started a series entitled Christ's Last Promise. That's the last promise of the Lord Jesus Christ found in the Bible. If you have a red letter edition, the words of Christ are in red. As Jesus spoke, the printers of the Bible, that whichever version you have, you're reading from, if they chose to make a red letter edition, that's the reason that they put it in red, because these were the words of the Lord. Now, he had already ascended into the heavens, but he did speak through John, the last of the apostles to die, the only one that died a natural death. He was imprisoned. He was exiled in the Isle of Patmos. So from Revelation 22, verse 20, this is what he has to say. "And he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly." And then the last prayer prayed in the Bible is this: "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Now, 2,000 years ago, he said he was coming quickly. And you may say, 2,000 years? That doesn't sound like he's coming quickly. You see, God does not keep time the way we keep time. We went into this in the first message that we spoke on concerning this. 1,000 years with man is one day with God. The Bible says concerning his first coming, "And when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law." The fullness of time was not just talking about a particular time on the clock, but it was talking about conditions. In Matthew 24 and other places in the scriptures, several other places in the scriptures, he prophesied concerning his coming. And I believe that we're living in the fullness of time, ready for his second return. God bless you. You may be seated. We'll not have much time to review anything that we've spoke of in the last two messages. And it has been a while, and I apologize for that, but we had some situations that we had little or no control over. Mr. Grant's been in the hospital and then guest speaker, but I did want to get back to this. I just really feel it on my heart. The rapture, the word rapture actually does not appear in the Bible, but it's taken from the term of caught up or the catching up. We speak of rapture, we're talking about the catching up of the saints of God. Now, it is possible to go to church all your life and never hear the word rapture mentioned, because the catching away of the saints is not mentioned in a lot of churches. Most churches do, but a lot of them, that's not true. So even though the word does not appear in the Bible, the doctrine concerning the translation or the catching up of the saints is found in both the Old and the New Testament. A passage of scripture that we have not read until this point, and it's one that you would normally think we'd start with, and that's from 1 Thessalonians 4. I'd just like for you to turn there with me if you would. For you who do not have your Bible, it is on the reader board. It is indeed very important that you follow along, even if you don't have your Bible. This is in the King James Version. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13, Paul says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." Now, I gave you an outline, kind of a brief outline of the book of Revelation. It's my belief that the church is raptured in Revelation 4. So in the book of Revelation, there is an introduction of Jesus Christ, an introduction to the book, and then there are the seven distinctive periods of time that existed between the time that Christ walked on the earth until the rapture takes place. And in Revelation 4, a door was open, and John took that ride in the Spirit. And there he saw the church in heaven. Revelation 4 and 5, and then Revelation 6, the judgments began to be poured out upon the face of the earth. Revelation 13, the Antichrist is revealed. The false church is destroyed. And we find the judgments of God continuing to be poured out upon the planet earth after the church has been caught up. Now notice, the Bible says that the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. In Revelation 4, the Bible says that when he was caught up with the voice of God. The Lord spoke directly to him, and it sounded like a trumpet. And we had used this kind of as an example, and that is that if every person in a congregation, you see, he said, "My sheep know my voice, another they will not hear." When he called Lazarus forth from the tomb, he said, "Lazarus, come forth." And one day, he's going to call every person's name. And he is God, and he can do it all at one time. Just like he can speak to me while I'm standing here and speak to you while you're seated out there, God can call my name and your name and everybody's name at the same time. So my name is John, and so let's just do this together. On three, let's just all say our own name. One, two, three, John. Now, you can't articulate any particular name. But God steps forth from the balconies of heaven and calls every person's name at the same time. "Now, my sheep know my name. Another they will not hear." First, he calls those that are in the graves. The graves open up. Then the second trumpet, and that is the voice of God, like a voice of an archangel, calling my name. If I'm still alive, I'll be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Now, we all want to go up in the rapture. Not too many people want to die, though. You know, but Paul says, for me to die is gain. For me to live is Christ Jesus. Basically what he says, you know, if the Lord, when the Lord comes back to take me, it doesn't make any difference whether I'm alive or whether I'm dead. I still accomplish my purpose in life. And that is to live for God and be ready to meet him. And you want to keep your heart right with God every day. Every day. Because you don't know the day nor the hour in which he will appear. Verse 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Comfort one another with these words. Well, I remember when I was a wayward teenager, and my mother was praying for me, and, you know, she was always, if my mother knew half the things that I did, she would have died then, you know. But I tried to appear to be good, except that I didn't want to go to church. And she kept praying for me and praying for me and praying for me and praying for me. And, you know, every time I go to church, the pastor would talk about dying or he'd talk about the coming of the Lord. Now, let me tell you something. There was no comfort found in those words. Absolutely no comfort at all. And I don't know about you, but when I gave my heart to God, I did not give my heart to God because I loved him. April 15th, 1961, I made my way into a little country, not country church, but a small church in Henderson, Texas. And the evangelist, Johnny Wilhoit, and most of you know him, he was, turned out to be a missionary, and later he visited our church here, pastored then later in Minneapolis. But Johnny Wilhoit came and preached a revival. I have no idea what he preached on, but I'll tell you one thing. I sat there and I was scared to death. I was a very sick person. I had a stomach ulcer. I had lost weight. When I came to God because I was afraid that the rapture was going to take place, or I was afraid I was going to die and I'd be lost. And let me tell you something. If you're not saved, and if you die and you're lost, that just simply means you'll be separated from God and you will be in eternal flames forever and ever and ever. We don't hear much preached about that anymore, because that's just not the way modern man does it. But that's what Jesus said. Jesus in his parable spoke of hell 10 times more than he spoke of heaven. So when I came to God because I was scared. Man, I came running to the altar. I slid into the altar like a runner sliding into second base. I was serious about this. I wanted to give my heart to God. And my dear mother, who had prayed for me all of those years, finally saw her prayers answered as her son wept his way into the kingdom of God. Now I love him because he first loved me. And I can truthfully say, I've heard many messages preached since then about the rapture. And for the most part, I felt very, very comfortable when they were being preached. I said, for the most part. So we should find comfort in that. And that's the reason why the last prayer of the Bible is, even so, come, Lord Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51 and 52 also talks about the rapture. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In 52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to the day in which Jesus Christ calls the church home. I appreciate men like Bart Newman who want to make a difference. And certainly, we need people like that. And we can make a difference with people like Mark and others who are running that stand up on solid Christian principles. But we also must realize that it's a big world and it's a corrupt world. And that the rapture will take place in the fullness of time. That is, God's going to look down one day and he's going to judge the world. So any day now, the Lord can come back. Luke, the 12th chapter. Let's just go to Luke 12. If you would turn there with me. To Luke, the 12th chapter. And we want to read verse 35 through 40. Jesus said, "Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. And ye yourselves liken to men that wait for the Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may be open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and shall make them to sit down to meat, and he will come forth and serve them." This is talking about the marriage supper of the Lamb. "And if he shall come in the watch or in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good men of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken." Verse 40, "Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not." And then looking at verse 46, "And the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, at an hour when he is not aware, and he will cut him in sunder and will appear, will appoint him his portion with unbelievers." Now that's talking about the parable of the unjust steward. Now, Jesus Christ is not going to intentionally just slip up on people, catch them unaware. It's like the Bible says, if this gospel be hid, it's hid to those that are lost. But he's not intentionally hiding the gospel from anyone. It's not his will that any should perish. He wants to save everyone. But Jesus could scream into some people's ear and they just wouldn't listen. They wouldn't hear. And they continue to go about their business doing what they want to do, how they want to do it. And to that person who has not made his heart right, in other words, he has never been born again, a watering of spirit, when the rapture takes place, because his name is not written on the Lamb's Book of Life, he won't go up. Now, we don't like to talk about this. You know, it makes people feel uncomfortable. You want to come to church and you want to leave feeling comfortable, don't you? Well, if that's true of all of you, then there is a way in which you can leave today feeling comfortable. Now, what I want to do, I want to talk about at least 9 major signs of the last days. There's a lot more that I will not mention. Most of these you are aware of, but I just want to talk about some of these. There will be an increase of false prophets, and there will be religious compromise within churches. All right? An increase of false prophets and religious compromise among churches. So I go to Matthew 24. I'm going to spend a little time in Matthew 24. Matthew 24 happens to be the particular chapter that has more in it concerning the coming of the Lord. Mark recorded it, Luke recorded it, John recorded some of it. But Matthew 24, let's read verse 4 and verse 5. Matthew 24, verse 4. "Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." There's only one God. There's only one Christ. I said, there's only one God, and there's only one Christ. And notice, throughout prophecy, Jesus goes over this many times. He says, be not deceived. People can deceive you. You got to stay with the book. Now, you know, people are saying, you know, think outside of the box. Well, that's okay, but don't think outside the book. All right? Stay in the book. And then we go to verse 10. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And then we go to verse 11. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And then we go to verse 24. For there shall rise false Christs and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. You know, the Bible speaks of the Antichrist, that he will have power to pull down fire. Now, I don't know exactly how he's going to do that, but I will assure you that anyone walking on the planet Earth today that can pull down fire from heaven is going to have a large following. And this is the reason why you've got to know what's in the book. And you've got to stay with what's in the book. See? So you've got to know this and you have to stay with it. So there will be an increase of false prophets and religious compromise within the church. Also, there will be an increase of crime and disregard of God's law. Matthew 24, and let's read verse 12, and because iniquity shall abound, love of many shall wax cold. And then let's read verse 37, but as of the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Now, if you go back to Genesis 5 and Genesis 6, or Genesis 6, the Bible says that the very imagination of the minds of men were evil continually. You think of all the problems that we're having in America. Example, one is the internet with the pornographic sites. Pure filth that, and sexual sins are totally different from all other sins. Don't let anybody tell you differently. Paul said, every sin that you commit is without the body, except the sin of fornication. When you sin the sin of fornication, you sin directly against your body. And I can tell you, as a young lad growing up, there were certain things that I saw and certain things that I watched that I shouldn't have. And let me tell you, you can't get those out of your mind so easily. And so there is a seed that has been sown in the minds of our young people to destroy this society. It's almost on a weekly basis that I deal with someone that calls me and tells me something that they've been involved in that has to do with sexual sin. And if you're having any problem with this, make sure that you get counseling right away. Make sure that you get godly counsel, because this can destroy you. The Bible says, and they knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour that your Lord doth come. So two will be in the field, one will be taking the other. How would you feel if you were out working in, let's say, your lawn with your spouse, and all of a sudden your spouse is gone? I remember years ago, our son Steve, and he was always getting into some kind of mischief. And we just, almost every time we went to church, you know, we'd have to take him home and say, look, now, you misbehaved in Sunday school, and you did this and you did that, and he just said, yeah. Well, he'd always make amends. He'd go, I'm sorry. But he'd just keep on doing it. And one day, he came home on the bus from school, went in the house, and we were gone. So, I don't know, he just got this fear of the rapture taking place. So, he gets on the phone, and he calls several people in the church. No answer. Called Jan, no answer there. Call Sister Bryant's home, no answer there. Call the Manleys, no answer. Call the Thorpes, no answer. Then he called Chuck and and Pat Berger. Now, he didn't know Chuck and Pat, but Chuck and Pat had just been baptized the night before. This was on a Monday, the night before in church. So when Pat answered the phone, he says, "Oh, thank God you're here." She said, "Well, what are you talking about?" He says, "Well, I thought the rapture had taken place." And he told about all these people he had called. And Pat said, but we're here. That doesn't mean the rapture hasn't taken place. Have you ever thought, Steve, that maybe we didn't make it?" He said, "Oh, no, that's impossible." He said, "You just prayed through last night." He said, I thought I'd call them. If one of them answers, I know it hasn't taken place. And all of a sudden, we walked in. But how would you feel? I mean, really, how would you feel? Two grinding at the mill. How would you feel if on your job, all of a sudden, the rapture takes place? Now, I'm not for sure that the people that hear that it's going to sound like a trumpet, but I'm not for sure that other people are going to hear it's just going to be the catching away. How would you feel if a coworker just all of a sudden disappeared, vanished? That's what's going to happen. So there's increase of crime and disregard for the law of God. Also, increase in wars, famines, and earthquakes from Matthew 24, verse 6 and 8. And I'll not read those scriptures. You're familiar with those. But you know, my heart goes out for the victims of Haiti. There's still over a million people that are homeless in Haiti. You may say, you know, see, Paul talks about the earth in the last days, moaning and groaning, waiting for its day of redemption. That the earth is getting old. And earthquakes are taking place. The flooding in Pakistan, the flooding in China. All of the diseases and such that are in the world today. Now, people, during the tribulation period, when the judgments are poured out, these things will happen. And they blame God for it. Now, I've had people say, "Pastor, you know, if God is a God of mercy and love, then why all of this?" And they, listen, God is not responsible. Sin is responsible for what's happening in the world today. I say sin is responsible for what is happening in the world today. But there will be an increase of wars. We got ourselves into it in Iraq and Afghanistan. And it looks like it's going to end like Vietnam. The only way to get out, just pull out and let things go. I don't know. I'm more concerned about the church than I am the war in Afghanistan, except that I don't like to see precious people die. But I do believe that, you see, this is what the Bible says. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and I will heal their land." I believe that the answer to the woes in our world, I'm talking about worldwide, is a worldwide revival. Where people call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is the reestablishing of God in the heart and in the home and in the governments. I believe that with all my heart. Lift your hands and praise the Lord, would you? Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Also, there will be a decrease in love and family affection. Let's go to the book of Mark. Mark the 13th chapter, verse 12. "Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son, and the children shall rise up against their parents, and shall cause them to be put to death." Verse 13, "You shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved." So while there is a great lack of affection for family members, a decrease in love and such, and persecutions come, we also know that if we endure to the end, we will be saved. In other words, keep on keeping on. This is no time to become discouraged. No time to become... don't lose your faith in God. Keep your faith in God. Keep believing God. Keep trusting God. You can be an overcomer. The Bible says, he that overcometh. So whatever problem you have, don't let that problem affect you to the point that you lose out with God. Here within just a short while, we're going to be praying for people who are sick, and we're going to be praying for people who have cares and problems and such that they need some help with, and we're going to be praying for people that need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. If you're here and you have some kind of a problem or care that's bothering you, I've had people call me up and say, Pastor, I just feel like giving up. Giving up on what? Giving up on God? Do you think your problem's going to get better if you give up? You think it's going to go away if you give up? You think you have problems now, but give up and see what happens. Because we've seen that. We see children that eventually stray. Families then divide. Divorces take place. That's not the way it works. That's not the way it is. Stand firm. Another, Mark 13:10, the Bible tells us, and this gospel must first be published among all nations. So the gospel of the kingdom is going to be preached into all the world. Why? Because it's not God's will that any should perish. He wants everybody to hear about the precious name of Jesus Christ and about salvation. So the gospel will be preached in all the world. And then one sign that I want to go over, and I'm kind of limited on time here this morning. In fact, it slipped away from me. Maybe I should put it that way. But the Spirit of God will be poured out upon people. In Acts, the second chapter, have you ever talked with someone that didn't know anything about the baptism of the Holy Ghost? I was really amazed when I went to La Crosse to start a church. Several ministers had told me, said, well, there's been a church there, an apostolic church there for years, and I think everybody in town knows all about it. I just wanted to make a little survey, so I took this was back in the late 60s, actually, early 70s. I took a tape player and I interviewed people on the street, and I asked them, about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I was amazed at all the college students. We were down close to the UW campus. Not one college student that I talked to had ever heard about receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking with tongues. Now, that seems strange to me because there's a whole book in the Bible about it, the book of Acts. They never even heard of it. So, when we find the birth of the church where people receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and that starts in the second chapter of the book of Acts, the Bible says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them clothed in tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And then in verse 15, after Peter had stood up and started preaching, because people thought that they were inebriated, they were drunken, they'd had too much to drink. This is what he said, for these are not drunken, as you suppose, since it's but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall, and your old men, pardon me, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. I think I need to get one of those large print Bibles. I was doing this by memory, And I realized I'd said the wrong thing. And on my servants and on my handmaidens will I pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Now, Joel, he made reference to, spoke of the former rain, and he speaks of the latter rain. The latter rain is to take place just before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The seventh parable of Matthew 13, there was a great net that was cast in the sea, and it gathered fish of every kind. That's the day we're living in. Would you believe 30 years ago hardly anyone believed in receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking with tongues outside of the Pentecostal people, outside the ranks of Pentecost? But now people of all denominations are receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. All denominations. So God, pouring out His Spirit, has jumped denominational boundaries. And people worldwide are receiving the Holy Ghost. Just last night I got on the email, and I get emails from Africa, all over Africa, and country after country after country. I'm amazed. This past month we had 247 receive the Holy Ghost. This past month we had 1,050 receive the Holy Ghost. This past month we had 400 and something receive the Holy Ghost. Now that's in Africa alone. That's the only country I dealt with last night. But there are more people filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost now on the planet Earth than there ever has been. That's one of the signs of the last days. God is getting His church ready. I'd like for you to stand with me at this time, if you would. Now, one sign that I went over last week, not last week, the last time I gave this message, been several weeks now, and that is the sign of complacency. By complacency, we mean just self-satisfied. The rich farmer, I'm going to tear down my barns, and I'm going to build bigger barns. Is there anything wrong with success? Is there anything wrong with tearing down your barn and building a bigger barn? The problem is that it left God out of the equation. The only problem that I can see, can you believe that the last words that this farmer heard on this planet Earth was the voice of God when God says, "Thy fool." To leave God out of the equation. God wants you to be successful. We rejoice in stories of success. But don't leave God out of the equation. And what happens in our complacent era that we live in? It's easy then to be blessed and all of a sudden forget about God. When Israel occupied the promised land, the Bible says, God said, "I will let you take this one step at a time, lest you become spoiled." Which I'm going to let you have this success so quickly. You've had nothing. You got to work hard for it. But once it comes, I don't want you to forget me. Don't leave me out of the equation. How many people have I known have gone into business for themselves only after becoming successful? Kind of became snug in the church, occupied a pew, and made no contribution in ministries, then later on dropped out of the church. Well, so when Jesus Christ spoke of Lot in His day, when we look back at Lot, what was the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah? It was the sin of perversion. What was the sin of Noah's day? The very imaginations of their mind were evil continually. But when Jesus Christ spoke of Lot and when He spoke of Noah, He never one time spoke of their perversion, never one time spoke of the imaginations of their mind. All He said was, they're eating and drinking. They're marrying and giving in marriage. They were building until the day And God rained down fire from heaven upon Sodom and Gomorrah, and the floodwaters came. So he never mentioned anything other than just their self-satisfied ways. Just feeling kind of smug in the church. Jesus gave the parable of the last days in Matthew 25, verse 1 through 13. 10 wise and 10 foolish virgins. He said the foolish took no oil in their lamps. I want oil in my lamp. Because when the bridegroom came, five who were wise went away to meet him. And five who had no oil missed the rapture. You don't want that to take place in your life. You don't want that to happen to you. So we're going to open this area around the pulpit here for you to come and pray. For those who need prayer for their body, if you came today and you're sick in body, we've already experienced the testimony of one man who has a miracle this past week. Come on down. God still performs miracles.